Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Hey, thanks for following us and supporting us. Our ratings are off the charts. You guys have been awesome, and we hope we're giving you good content. And I think along those lines here, we've got a very good guest for you. Jim Renacci is a former congressman from Ohio. It's our second time appearance on the show. Before we do, need to let you know we're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios. And I don't know how many hundreds of banks the Federal Reserve just identified as being at risk. They can keep your money. They don't really want to, but if they get desperate enough under Dodd-Frank 2010, UCC Section 8, they can keep your money. Do you really want that? Do you want that for your retirement associated with the bank too? Well, of course not. Noble Gold will give you options without pressuring you at all. 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347, and they are the only sponsor for this show. Tells you how I feel about them since I've been an advertiser for almost 9 years. Well, Jim, it's great to have you back on. I know our time is kind of on the tight side here, and there is so much going on. I mean, we've got the war, we've got the midterms coming up, we've got Trump's plummeting popularity, if you're to believe the polls, and I have doubts about the polls, but I do think his popularity has slipped. It's all a mess. But what is the key element here that's driving all this, in your opinion?
Well, I hate to say it, Dave, but again, it comes back to people are still struggling. 25% of our country is living paycheck to paycheck. 60% of Americans have less than $1,000 in their savings accounts. And yet, when you go to a grocery store and you go to buy groceries, and I just did this as a test with my wife. We bought groceries, filled up one grocery cart. You know, in the old days, that might have been $150, $200. It was $427. That tells you that groceries, actual affordability is a key issue. The economy is a key issue. And the big problem I think Americans, many Americans are seeing, look, if you're into politics like maybe you and I are, you're looking at things a lot different. But there's a large group of people in America that just don't really care about politics. They care about making ends meet, paying their mortgage, paying their utility bills, which are skyrocketing, paying all these things. And then they look around and they see a president that made the decision to go into Iran, into a war. And they're saying, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And that's really the issue when it comes to why the popularity of this president, I believe, is declined.
Yeah, the popularity is really a question. And I'll tell you, I'm affected by this too. I did my own experiment last night. It was unintentional. I'm coming home from the gym last night. I go, well, I'm going to gas up here so I can get through the week. And the gas was up over 70 cents a gallon than what I paid for it last week. Yeah, so it's begun for me too. And you know that translates to food because everything is shipped. We have the 3,000-mile salad. So it just, people, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. In your humble opinion, was this war necessary in the form that it's taken?
Well, here's what I've been telling people, and I've been on a lot of shows. And look, people want to call me sometimes anti-Trump. I'm not anti-Trump. I'm pro-American,
sure.
Pro make America great again, pro making sure our country is doing the right thing. But really, doing the right thing means following the Constitution, following the rules. And what's good for one is good for the other. And not setting precedents that are going to cause presidents in the future to say, well, wait a minute. He did it, so I can do it. And that's the real problem we have here right now. There is no rhyme or reason. The United States was not under direct threat today. The War Powers Act gives the president three things. He either has to ask Congress for a declaration of war, he has to ask Congress for the approval to interject the military, which is a second lower level, not the approval of war, but President Bush asked for those things. Or there has to be a direct threat to the United States. I don't see any three of those things occurring, which is a real problem for me. And again, I think the Constitution is pretty clear. They don't want one person in this country ever making the decision to send our men and women into harm's way. They want that to be a decision made by the people, which in turn is made by Congress. And I think that was the key reason why they never put the soul authority into one individual. Even though, Dave, I get people saying to me, well, he's the commander in chief. He can do whatever he wants. No, just not true.
How does this fit into the War Powers Act?
Well, it doesn't. It's one of the problems. I mean, it doesn't meet. I mean, to fit into the War Powers Act, you either have to, number one, be part of a request to go to war, which that didn't happen. Number two, be part of a request, because there's three things in the War Powers Act: request to engage the military, or number three, we have to have a direct attack, or be concerned that the United States is either going to be attacked, under attack. That gives the president the opportunity to initiate military action for 60 days, report to Congress, and to get Congress's approval and move forward. I don't think any of those things are happening. Now, it's funny because you're seeing Secretary Rubio saying, well, there was this, there is this threat by Iran, and if we didn't do anything today, it would escalate. Just think what it'd be like in a year in that region. That's what he said yesterday. Well, you're right. There probably was a threat to that region that was growing. It probably would have been worse in a year, but I don't know there was ever a threat to the United States. Now, they're also arguing there was a threat to the military bases in that area. I think that's a stretch as well. It's pretty simple. The War Powers Act is a threat to the United States, and I'm not sure we've met that, crossed that line.
See, I would argue now that 20% of the world's oil is affected, that's the threat, but it's a threat created by our own action.
Well, again, that's interesting. You make an action to cause a threat. There is a threat to our oil, but you're right, we caused that, and now we're going to have to live with it. And Americans are going to painfully have to see that at the gas pump.
Yeah, point of confession here. I have been an advocate for not entering this, and I could see where this was going with Israel's seemingly undue influence over our legislators, our government officials, our social institutions. And I saw it coming. I said this back in October, we're going to be going to war with Iran. And I had to concede yesterday. And I wonder how many people are where I'm at. I'm opposed to the war, but now that we're in it, I got to support my side. Do you think this is going to be a growing opinion?
Look, here's some interesting facts. Businessman Trump in 2012 said no American president should ever enter in any war without congressional approval. That was before he was ever running for election. Vice President J.D. Vance has said we should never engage in war with Iran. And I think that's coming back to haunt him. So there are a lot of people that have felt the same way you have felt. Now, I think all of us, and I've posted this on social media, I am so supportive of our troops. I want to make sure our troops are safe. I want to make sure that we do everything we can to keep them out of harm's way. I'm not too happy we put them in harm's way in this fashion. Now, if Congress comes out and supports these actions, which I understand they may do this week, then guess what? I'm supportive of it because constitutionally, it
I agree.
is something that has now passed the constitutional test.
I agree, but everything I'm seeing in the polls, and I don't trust most of the polls because they're used to influence public opinion, and I've seen that with, and I used to teach research, Jim, so this is kind of my wheelhouse. And what I've seen here is manipulation with, unrepresentative sample sizes taken and so forth. But I have to tell you, this time, I can't see the proliferation of polls that I'm seeing, and they're all arriving at similar numbers for similar reasons. And it's reflecting my feelings. And I worked for Trump for 10 years. And I said, I'm agreeing with this. I'm reading somewhere, what is it, 23% of the people on average support the war?
Yeah, and look, I was one of the first people to support President Trump in 2015 as an elected member of Congress. It's comical. I chuckle because so many people who've said, well, I was with President Trump from day one. I can tell you there were seven members of Congress that used to meet on a regular weekly basis, and none of those people that say they were always with Trump were in that room. And those would be the only seven people that were really with him from day one. So I've always been a big supporter of his, but I can also tell you, not only does my entity, my company, do polling, but we also monitor the polling, all trends in the same way. And it's not about
Yeah,
one
of
poll
course.
anymore. I always say it's about the trends. And the trends show that this war is something that is not a, there's very little approval, 23 to 27%. Millennials are in that boat. I mean, and the real big problem for President Trump is he's lost the independents. Now, people say, well, what does that matter? They're independents. Well, the problem is independents make up 45% of the electorate today in the United States. And because of that, the independents will make the decisions in November of every year. And the independents made the decision to elect Donald Trump in 2024. But today, independents only have about a 24% approval rating of Donald Trump. And that's a real problem in itself.
It's almost is I just get the feeling he doesn't care. He's oblivious to this because he's not running for re-election. And I'm thinking, well, what about J.D. Vance or Rubio? I mean, aren't you concerned this continues in terms of turning the country back over to what I call Bolshevik communists? What do you think is motivating him to go against the stream?
You're talking about J.D. Vance?
Well, I'm talking about Donald Trump. He's going against the interests of his own party and the two possible heirs to the presidency.
Well, I do think it's his friendship with Netanyahu. I mean, look, there is that side that believes it is the only democracy in the entire area. And they are friends, they are allies of the United States. They do give us a lot of intel from that region. So I think in that sense, President Trump has made the obligation that he would help another country. Now, again, there are so many people that don't believe we should be involved in that region. There are so many people that believe we should not be involved in another war. And even President Trump has said we should not be involved in these wars. And think about it, has pretty much walked away from Ukraine, which is another entity that really is a democracy in that near region that we've totally walked away from, but yet we've engaged in this war.
That's an interesting point because Ukraine is out of the headlines. Let me share with you something that's repetitively in the alternative media, that the war is a great distraction away from the controversy over the Epstein files. How do you view that?
Well, the one thing I know that President Trump is really good at is changing the narrative. And he changes it all the time. And it's one of the reasons why in politics, the narrative doesn't last more than a few weeks. So you could be talking about Epstein, the next week you're talking about Iran, and then 2 weeks from now, we'll be talking about something else. The problem is the diversion. But I don't think the American people are walking away from the Epstein files. And I think because you have two members of Congress, one Republican, one Democrat, who's going to continue to bring it to the forefront, you're not going to change that narrative.
Are you
We
referring to Massey as one of the two?
yes,
Yes.
yeah, Thomas Massie. But you know, we have changed the narrative away from of a lot of things. From think about it, affordability. We're not talking about that anymore. Grocery prices, we're not talking about that anymore. The Epstein files are not at the top of the list anymore. It's Iran, 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 and that'll be that way for a while.
Absolutely amazing set of circumstances surrounding this president right now. My feeling, and I just want to bounce this off you for your reaction. If this war doesn't end quickly, and if Trump doesn't directly address and have some major breakthroughs in affordability, like the ability to buy a home, ability to get to grocery shopping at the end of the month and have some money left over, if he doesn't get that done, it's going to be a bloodbath in November. That's my feeling. What do you think?
Well, look, I've been saying this. I've been sending up the alarms. People, Republicans, get mad at me when I say this, but I do believe we've lost the House, and I don't think there's any way we're going to get it back. It just depends on how big of a loss we take there. The big fear is, are we going to lose the Senate?
I
There's
agree.
only four seats away from losing the Senate, and I think people are really fed up and tired, and independents especially, they don't just want to vote for Democrats, they want to punish Republicans. I mean, I've heard that time and time again. It's we are going to punish Republicans for allowing President Trump to continue to go down this path. And that's the most dangerous thing that I think President Trump and the members of the House and Senate need to worry about. It's those independents. And let's face it, if we lose the House and the Senate, President Trump is neutered for the next 2 years. And it's going to get really ugly because there will be hearings and oversight, and we'll get back to Epstein. We'll get back to so many things that the United States will never move forward for 2 years in a direction that I think most Americans really want to see happen.
I think you're giving the most optimistic view if they get the House, because if they get the House and the Senate, Trump gets impeached. That's my feeling.
Well, there needs to be 60 votes in the Senate to impeach. It'll be interesting. Will they be able to come up with certain things in their oversight to cause Republicans to go along with an impeachment in the Senate? Let's face it, there's votes already there that have voted to impeach. And the one thing President Trump doesn't do a good job of, and again, this is not an anti-Trump comment, when he doesn't like you, he makes sure he doesn't like you. So there are some Republican members of the Senate that, if they can win re-election, some of them are up for re-election. If they can win, they're not going to be opposed to punishing President Trump. He's punishing them right now.
Yeah, but some of these Republicans I think are short-sighted. Now, some have an agenda, Murkowski, Collins, but leaving those aside, some of them need to understand what being on the downside of the ballot really means. And if they go against Trump, they could be committing political suicide themselves in the next election. This is what I don't understand. Where does self-preservation come in?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I'm a big believer. Look, I served in Congress. I never worried about getting reelected, and I always got reelected. I mean, I think if you never worry about getting reelected and you do the right things, you will get reelected. I will be shocked if Representative Massey loses the election. Now, enough money can make anybody lose. But I think there are people in his district that I talk to that say, you know what, I'm a big Trump supporter. But I'm a big Representative Massey supporter as well. And I think because they believe he's doing the right things in many cases, they're not going to vote for the other person. But time will tell, that's for sure. We live in strange times and anything is possible.
Well, the Israeli lobby, like Adelson and so forth, what did they put $20 million against Massey? Is that a correct figure?
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact amount, but there is a lot of money out there. And let's face it, money does get people elected. I mean, Senator Marino in Ohio, $150 million came in from the Bitcoin people to help him win that election by just 3 percentage points. So without that 150 million, he probably wouldn't have won against Sherrod Brown in 2024. But now, money can actually convince people of things that sometimes aren't even true, so you just never know.
Interesting you'd bring up Bitcoin. Trump has two executive orders about Bitcoin and crypto, and he's been very supportive verbally of that. But yet, Bitcoin and crypto are mired in the basement right now. Do you have any insight as to what's going on there?
Well, I do believe the president and his family support Bitcoin, but I do also believe there's a growing concern for what Bitcoin really represents. I mean, you can argue that the dollar really is worthless as well, but at least you can hold on to a dollar. You can touch it, you can feel it. Bitcoin is just a computer-operated form of currency, which Many believe the minute you allow that to be manipulated by anyone, it's like a stock. I hate to say this, but you start selling stock off, you can manipulate the value of the company. You start selling Bitcoin off, you can manipulate the value, and then turn around and buy it back. The minute you start putting your full faith and credit behind something that's not in, that not you can't hold in your hand, but can be manipulated by computers, I think is a real problem. But the president and his family do support it, and there are several senators that do support it as well.
Yeah, it's interesting you'd say that too. A lot of people feel that to get real specific, what I've read over and over, MicroStrategies did just what you were alluding to here about affecting the price by their actions, and they are controlled by JP Morgan. And so it led me to wonder, are they driving the price down so they can buy it up cheap and then all of a sudden it explodes and they make all kinds of money? That's one of the things I'm wondering about here, because usually when the president gets behind something like this, it doesn't go in the tank. And
Well,
that's
I
what.
think people still fear it. They just don't understand it. I mean, I have a person who teaches Bitcoin in Texas, and I actually was on the phone with him for a while, and he explained to me. He said, "Come down to Austin. You're going to see a big warehouse." He goes, "I'll get you a tour with thousands and thousands of computers." He goes, "And that is a mining. That's a Bitcoin mine, and it's just those computers are generating, holding the price, dictating up, dictating down." And then there's somebody behind the computers that are running all that. Well, when you hear stuff like that, it's not something you want to be involved in.
All right, let's put you in the Oval Office, okay? Between now and November, if you were in the Oval Office, what would you be doing?
Well, if I was in the Oval Office, I would be traveling the country talking about how we're going to get your grocery prices down. I would not be in the Iran war. I'd be getting out of this as quickly as I could. And I would be making sure the American people realize that we are concerned about you. And look, there's not a lot of things you can do to bring the prices down, but there are some things. But people just want you to talk about it. And we're not doing enough of that. And I think that's going to be the real key. I do think there's still plenty of time. I do think President Trump will eventually do that. But I think he has to, and I think that should be the total focus of how do we make sure that American prices are down. Remember, his big issue up to this point was, I have gas prices down. Well, that's gone now. Gas prices, I just, you were talking about it, but I heard they've increased by 31 cents just in the last 24 hours. That's a serious, serious problem that now is going to cause affordability as well. So he can't even use that line anymore. Hey, I got gas prices down. So that's what he's got to do. He's got to get in there and be talking to the American people.
How does tariffs and the Supreme Court ruling enter into this ability for Trump to manipulate the economy to get the prices down?
Well, if he eliminates the tariffs, he's going to bring down the prices too. I'm not a
Exactly.
tariff person, never was. I'm not supportive of the tariffs. The tariffs are just a tax on the American people. I said that when I was in Congress. I say it today. I think the tariffs actually cause approximately $1,000 to $1,200 per family in additional pricing. I mean, if the president would come out and say, look, I'm going to eliminate these tariffs. Even if I'm going to do it only on a short-term basis, so the American people get some breathing room and some availability of cash, I think that would be helpful too. But this is one of his premier things. He believes tariffs are the answer, and I don't think he's going to do that either. But in the end, tariffs are costing the American consumer. I just went out and looked. I have a 6-year-old Tahoe, and I want to see if I could get another Tahoe on a trade with my 6-year-old Tahoe. When I bought that Tahoe 6 years ago, it was about $59,000. That same Tahoe today is $95,000. And I was a Chevy dealer. I said, "What is going on?" And of course, the dealer said to me, "Blame it on the tariffs because there's a lot of money tied up in that price. That's the tariffs." And people just don't realize it affects us in all avenues and all expenses.
I do agree with something you just said, though, too, that the key starts with getting out of the Iran war. So if you're in the Oval Office again, how do you get us out of this war?
Well, I think you just say we've done our job. We protected America, and you start to back out of it very quickly. There's no need to continue to do what we're doing. I know the president has come out and said we're going to have a strike that you've never seen before. Well, I'll tell you the problem with that is that might end the war very quickly, but the casualties might be so great that it affects President Trump as well and his favorability. So the best thing he could do right now is backpedal, say we've done what we believe we should have done, just like the strikes on the nuclear facilities. What was that in April, where he said we've now decimated them? He could do the same thing. We've now decimated them. We are backing away. I would hope that's something he considers sooner than later.
I agree because that effect. I was reading an analysis. If he quit the war today, the prices associated with this oil in particular, it's going to take 90 days to back down the prices. So, in terms of midterm strategy, he doesn't have a lot of wiggle room here.
No, we're running out of time. The midterms are upon us. And look, I keep hearing people say, oh, Renee, see, those polls don't mean anything. Things will change. Sure, they can change, but they're only going to change if the perception changes. And we just don't have a lot of time to change the perception.
You know, speaking of perception, this is what bothers me about the American electorate. Okay, as unpopular as the war may be and the effects on the economy, along with tariffs, do you really want to elect people who are openly communist? Minimum democratic socialist, but it's a nice term for communist. That's what I don't understand. I mean, Trump on his worst day is better than one of these people on their best day.
Well, remember, they're not going to they're going to change the balance of power. I'm not saying I'm supportive of it, but the best House and Senate and presidency is a divided. I hate to say this, but I saw it. A divided government works best for the American people because it forces. Remember, there are some good Republicans and there are bad Republicans and Democrats. There are extremes on both sides. There are some really good people. 85% of our elected officials are really good people, and they can get the job done, but they're going to need the flexibility to realize it can't be a one-person show. And I think that would be positive for the American people. And I think that's really what the independents are saying. We're going to punish and vote for the Democrat, even though we don't like them, because we want the balance of power to change. And we'll see. I mean, again, I'm not advocating for it. I want to see Trump do great things. I want to see him come back and change things. I want to see him keep the House and the Senate, but I just don't see that happening. And I do see even some Republicans saying, I'm going to punish this president for what he's doing.
Yeah, there's another issue that's kind of on the horizon, but starting to get a little tension, and I think it's going to be a campaign issue eventually. And that's going to be what's going to be the future of Gaza? Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, I hope the future of Gaza isn't what President Trump talked about a few months back, where he said we're going to go in there and make hotels. And I mean, look, that's not our area. That's not our region. It's not in the best interest of the United States.
No.
But I think the future of Gaza is whatever's best for that region, not what's best for the world. So hopefully that's how they concentrate on moving Gaza forward.
Well, right now, where I see the war, it's gone into 16 nations by my count, and you've got Israel threatened to going after Hezbollah. Now that means crossing national boundaries again. Do you think the potential for this war exists to expand to a point where no one can control it, kind of like a World War I situation?
I hope not, but I think there's always that chance. I mean, look, Israel, if I was Israel, you almost have to put yourself in their position. If I was Israel, I'd be taking out every enemy I have right now, because I have a big brother standing next to me working on Iran. And I can now start to attack all the other people that have caused me problems. So, again, if I'm Israel, that's what I'm doing. All the other countries in our region are probably saying, I just want to protect myself, which is what they
Exactly.
should. And then you got Iran who's being decimated. And here's my biggest fear. When you are being beat like they are being beat, pretty soon there comes a time where you say, you know what? It doesn't matter anymore. Let's just release everything we have. And boy, that could be problematic. Or what's even worse is if Russia or China say, you know what? You guys are doing way too much to destroy Iran. We are now stepping in. That would be another major problem, in my view of moving forward.
And that's the expansion of the war that keeps a lot of people up at night. That's absolutely incredible. If you were to give a drop dead date to say, okay, if we're going to revive the economy, if we're going to get out of this war as unblemished as possible, okay, how far out can Trump go with this conflict, in your opinion, before he's got to pull in the reins and get out?
I don't think he can go much further. I mean, I think he knows that too. I mean, he has said this war is not going to last more than 2 or 4 weeks. He's talking about this massive intervention to try and end it quickly. I don't think he wants to go 4 weeks. I think he's going to try and end this as quickly as possible. So he sees it as well. He's got to get out of this situation sooner than later.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Jim, how can people follow your good work?
JimRenacci.com, JimRenacci.com. And we're on social media as well, Facebook, Twitter, all those venues. Again, Jim, JimRenacci. You'll find me in all those venues.
Okay, Jim, I really appreciate you coming on. It was great having you back on, and let's keep our fingers crossed that we turn the corner here and move towards keeping the Democrats out of office in November. Thanks so much, Jim.
I would agree. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world, welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Need your help, though, because our we're on social media. The notifications going out to subscribers is next to nothing. So please help us by sharing if you find the content valuable. And I think you're going to find this valuable. Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, accidentally or inadvertently contradicted Netanyahu's lies about involvement in Iran. And I told you, I told you, I told you, I told you. And people wanted to call me, you're anti-Semitic for saying this. Well, I'm going to tell you what I told you, and it's not anti-Semitic. It was practical. It was about one nation state's best interest versus another. And it's all going to come out right here on the Common Sense Show. We are brought to you by the Nanosoma Liquid Spray. Do you need an immune system boost? We all do. I don't know about the effect on longevity, but this affects the telomeres, which is about cell health and cell longevity. And the polycosino is about boosting your immune system. And if it helped me overcome something that was supposed to do me in down the road, strip lung linings of RSV, this can help you. It doesn't cure anything. It doesn't necessarily reverse anything. What it does is it strengthens your immune system and lets that do the work. And there's nothing like it. I've never taken anything like this, and I'm going to keep singing its praises until my final days. How do you get this? You just go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. I've covered on here the Samson option for Israel, and I'll review it very briefly. But one of the things that I want you to know is that Israel is excellent at holding other nations hostage, particularly its allies, particularly us. If they can't control us overtly through campaign donations, blackmail, They're very, very good at blackmailing with their military prowess. And the Samson option, as I talked about last week, is you come and help us with this conventional military issue, or we'll have to resort to nuclear weapons. And it's estimated they have about 400. That's a strong estimate, I've been told repeatedly by people in the know. They've never confirmed nor denied that they have these weapons, but you know darn good and well they do. And we'd have been foolish at the height of the Cold War had we not armed them with this because of the Russian threat to the oil supplies and so forth. So we kind of made our own monster. But here's what the contradiction is. Samson option thinking. You better do this with us because otherwise we'll have to act unilaterally and it'll get a lot worse for everybody. Well, Netanyahu comes out spewing his lies. Oh, the US was awesome. They helped us last year take out the nuclear capabilities of Iran. That's BS. We took out the capabilities of Iran. You sat on the sidelines and did virtually nothing but fly a few planes that did next to nothing. It was our bombers, our bombs, paid for by US taxpayers, that did your job for you. When you're promoting the fiction, they're days away from a nuclear weapon. Netanyahu's been spewing this BS for over 30 years. They're days away. They're days away. We completely obliterated them, he said after the June 25th attack of last year. But now it was just, they were days away. We had to act. And the US, our partner, acted with us. No, the US is doing your work. You own us. And that's a fact of life. This is why we, folks, I want to make one point here. You've heard me say it many times. Now I'm going to emphasize it. Do you see why I want to eliminate all foreign lobbying of our representatives we elect to represent us? There should never be a foreign dime that crosses the donation sheet for a campaign for a politician at any level. Any level. Now, having said that, I think it's probably prudent to go to right to the heart of the contradiction. So Netanyahu says, well, we've kind of got the job done, but we got more work to do. Translation, we want a piece of Iran, just like we're getting all of Gaza. And, oh, by the way, you taxpayers, thank you very much for paying for this. And President Trump, you're a nice little boy. Marco Rubio gets up. And after they had the, briefing with the eight senators and congressmen. And he said, well, we told them that Israel said they were going to attack. And we knew if they attacked, we'd be vulnerable to attack. And we didn't want to be on the receiving end. And we had a choice. Either we join with Israel or we sit back and be reactive rather than being proactive. So we agreed with Israel. Well, basically, Rubio, let's tell the truth. You agreed to do their work for them. Okay? You weren't partnered with them. They're not doing that much. Oh, did they take out the leaders? Yeah. But you don't hear about drones attacking Israeli tankers. You don't hear about drones attacking Israeli ships, do you? No. We're doing the work, so we're the target. When did an Israeli embassy get taken out? And we'll get into that in a later broadcast, but no, nowhere. U.S. embassy happened this morning, their time, while you slept last night. So we got dragged into this, and Rubio admits it, because Israel was going to do it anyway. And you wonder why I say we're under their control. Israel wants to attack? Oh, yeah. Hey, we'll put everything down and join you. How much money did you need? Oh, okay, sure. Make sure you take care of those congressmen. Another reason why I want Toss them all, as in tossthemall.com. I got one email on this. One. And all I want to do is get rid of the Republicans in the primary election. Democrats aren't worth messing with. Other than John Fetterman, there's not one Democrat that's worth a damn. They're anti-American, they're anti-family, they're anti-God, they're anti-life, they're anti-everything that's wholesome and decent. They are evil entities. And to show you how the evil manifests, just look at the Somalian thing. Oh, which, by the way, has conveniently disappeared. And where are the perp walks except for the foot soldiers at mid-level management? Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. And are you sick of it? I'm sick of it. So what do we do? People, I'm telling you, unless we stand up and we start doing dramatic things, and dramatic means you withdraw your participation. Unless you're willing to do that, and you say, well, number one, you're not taking any money from any foreign government. Number two, you're going to have term limits, and they're going to start immediately in the next election cycle. And number three, you'll take no foreign money. And number four, you'll take no corporate money. Otherwise, we're going to go to our Samson option. We're going to remove every Republican in the primary with whoever is running against them on the basis that we can't do any worse. Six Americans are dead because we allowed Israel to drag us into a war. And I hate the Democratic Party. I'm not saying the people. I said, I hate the party. The party is evil squared. But I have to agree with them when they came out of that briefing, that classified briefing. It's a war that's optional, not one that's necessary. Amen, amen, amen. This may be a first in the history of Dave Hodges where I actually have to agree with something that moron Chuck Schumer is saying. And he is correct. We had an option here, and we could have done other things short of dropping bombs, which should have been our last choice, not our Israeli mandated first choice. Say, well, Dave, what could we have done? You ever heard of a blockade? And you tell Russia, don't test us, you're not getting the oil. China, don't test us, you're not getting the oil. A blockade would have been simple. You disrupt their government by jamming every single one of their communications. We have the capability. Absolutely. And then you have black ops, spec ops teams on the ground promoting revolution. You didn't need to do what you're doing, except you let Israel drag you into it. You could have done other things first, and we may have ended up on this square anyway. But we don't know that. How many more wars are we going to get into? Well, I'm going to tell you why you need to be concerned about this war, because it ain't going the way you want it to, America. And those of you that wrote me yesterday say, oh, you're anti-American, you're anti-Semitic, da, 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 da. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to tell you what's going on with the American life now. And this is just phase one, and it ain't good. And some of you are on your high and mighty perch, ignoring that our Christian covenant is with Jesus. You're about ready to get a really rude awakening. More on that in the next segment. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're getting about a 2% click-through rate, so please share far and wide. I don't know why we're being singled out. Anyway, let me get down to brass tacks here as I clear my desk of my notes, which are many. We have a problem with money. You better, if you know what's good for you, go to your bank and withdraw a sizable sum of cash, keep it on hand. There's something else that you need to do too. This is, well, it's Iran reaching out and touching us. And wait till you find out what just happened. Now, the Federal Reserve says they fixed it, but wait till you find out what's happened right here on the show. We're brought to you by my friends at Iron Hawk Financial. Now, why do I like them? Well, one, they're going to set you up for older age, everything, annuities, end-of-life health care without breaking the bank. Produce revenue streams from what you do. And making it nearly tax-free, perfectly legal according to IRS Code 7702. And, ready for this? It's recession-proof. It's recession-proof. You need to hear this and hear this clearly. Our banking system was attacked. It's been unstable for a while. It's worse now. And we look at the vulnerability that's been exposed. My friend Joe Lombardi and his staff can set you up so this is recession proof. You're not going to be prone to these dips and falls and all these other things going on. Now, who should participate in this? Well, if you've got a decent sum of money, I don't mean $100 or $1,000. If you have a decent sum of money and you're saying, I don't want to go to the bank for all the obvious reasons, I feel I bought the gold and silver and crypto that I need to, this is where you need to go. And this is where you'll produce wealth beyond your wildest dreams, because this is what the rich and famous did. Joe, being a top banker on Wall Street, figured this out. And now he's teaching the average person with a decent sum of money how to do what the rich and famous do. There's going to be some good fortunes made from this. How do you become a, well, how do you get involved? Go to dhhawk.com. That's dhhawk.com. dhhawk.com. Now, I'm going to be at State Farm Stadium this Saturday from noon to three. It's in Maricopa County at the Maricopa County Home and Landscape Show. I'll be there for 3 hours. Look forward to meeting you. And I'm there as a promotion for Iron Hawk Financial, but I do want to meet all of you. You get to see me every day. I don't get to see you. So I hope you show up. We're in booth 1608. And as some of you advise me, yes, I have security. Don't think I need it, but you never know. We live in crazy times. Okay. The Federal Reserve was attacked. I'm going to see if I can't show you the log. And if you're listening on audio only, I'm going to have to describe what you're seeing. This is from the Federal Reserve. FRBServices.org. Service status. Now they're okay now. They're A-okay. Their services, which includes check adjustments, Fed ACH. Now, this the ACH is like the SWIFT system. Fedwire funds, Fedwire securities, national settlement. Then you come down here, access solutions. You got to be able to access your money. Okay. And then they had the service disruption. Look at this. Everything is a check, service issue, golden triangle, service disruption, red X. They got hacked. I want to make sure you hear this clearly. The Federal Reserve got hacked. This isn't like Social Security getting hacked. This isn't like Bank of America getting hacked. This is the Federal Reserve employing the best technology out there. Now, the timing, is it a little bit suspect? Is it really hard to figure out who did it? I just saw this thing on YouTube. I laughed all the way through it because you see it was fictional. But long story short, this guy had his wife leave him for a friend of his. Someone vandalized the car of the boyfriend, not him, but who'd the police come to? Okay, same thing here too. The Federal Reserve got hacked. Now, why did I tell you to go get cash? What if the system of money transfer were to go down entirely? What if this is just a beta test? Couldn't use your card. What if you needed gas, get a doctor's appointment, got to pay for a prescription? That's why I said go get a sizable sum of money out of the bank. Plain and simple. Now, let me also expand this. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. I couldn't be any more clear on this point. This is the chest pains before the heart attack. Iran will one day run out of missiles. They won't run out of domestic terrorists. They will not run out of cyber attack capabilities. And you know they're being shown how to do this. Who would show them? Our friends just west of the South China Sea. Who else? Ladies and gentlemen, we live in very, very serious times. I could see the banking system being able to not honor what you need to have done. Do I think it'd be permanent? No. Do I think there'll be huge disruptions? I think there's more to come. I see this as the beta test. They did it because they could. We have reached out from the United States side and said, hey, would you like to talk now? Silence. They know they can damage this economy. We're going to talk about how successful their military is. They're not getting credit. They're waging a brilliant campaign against us. You see the chart right there? Service disruption, red X, service issue, golden triangle. If this isn't registering with you, I don't know what I can say. I really don't. Iran is a formidable enemy, and they may not be able to defeat us on the battlefield, but this is cyber warfare, and they could sure as hell compete there. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here next time. And by the way, we've got a bunch of new publications up on our TV show, thecommonsenseshow.tv. Check it out. And our newsletter, reaching over 50,000 people every single day. And they sign up because we put most of what we do, and it comes back to people in an email. It's free. And all you got to do to get it is to go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Upper right-hand corner, click on the newsletter link, put in your contact information. That's all we need to send you the email, and you don't have to come back several times a day. That's thecommonsenseshow.com, newsletter link, upper right-hand corner. Take advantage of this free service. I want to thank you for listening to today's show on these most important topics. I'm going to have a follow-up with Trump on the Board of Peace. But I want to let you know about an appearance I'm making. And if you're in Maricopa County, Arizona, and you're coming to the Home and Landscape Show at State Farm Stadium, and it's absolutely a huge event, I'll be making an appearance at the Iron Hawk Financial booth from noon to 3 on March the 7th. And I'll be there to do a meet and greet with everybody that stops by. And you're saying, well, what's Iron Hawk Financial? Well, it's become one of our key sponsors here, and they're doing such a great job helping people with financial planning. And I got to tell you one thing that really separates them from everybody else. If you're looking to protect money, and you say, well, I've got as much gold as I need, okay, and I don't really trust the banks, that's good. Joe Lombardi's people at Iron Hawk Financial can absolutely set you up to where you're going to be recession-proof. You're almost tax-proof legally through IRS code 7702, and you're going to make an income stream like you won't believe. And this used to be just the property of the rich and famous, but Joe Lombardi, being one of the top Wall Street brokers that he was, has learned the tactics. He's teaching it, and people are doing really, really well. And I would encourage you to be involved with them. And I'll be at that booth with the Iron Hawk Financial people, like I said, on March the 7th, noon to 3, the Home and Landscape Show at State Farm Stadium. And I'm really looking forward to meeting you. I always love it when I'm at the airport or out in public and I run into somebody from the show because you get to see me, but I never get to see you guys. So please come on out and say hello. We'll have a great time. Again, that's March 7th, noon to 3, the Home and Landscape Show, the Iron Hawk Financial people at booth 1608. And by the way, if you want to know more about what I just said about asset protection and wealth growth, just go to dhhawk.com. dhhawk.com. We'll see you at the show.